Hello everyone, hope everybody's doing well. So I got this phone call the other day, and I knew I shouldn't have picked it up since I didn't recognize the number. But the guy on the other end wanted to talk to me about me selling my home to him. And of course, the first thing on my mouth is, I'm not selling. So he says, oh, you know, if you got a few minutes, we can tell you, you know, we can figure out how much we can offer you. I said, I'm not selling. But even if you haven't heard the offer, I said, I'm not selling. Oh, but you don't, I'm not selling. Okay. He got mad because I wouldn't speak to him about my property that I did not want to sell. Why people get mad at you before you get mad at them? Shouldn't I have gotten a little upset with him for him not listening to me when I told him I'm not selling my house? Shouldn't I have been the one saying, God, dude, I'm telling you, I told you I'm not selling. No, he get mad before I do. And I think about that's how people are today, though. Like, you could be talking to somebody and trying to help them about a situation or a problem, and they get mad at you. Like, why are you mad? You didn't even give me a chance to get mad, and you mad. Why? I didn't do it, you did. But it just amazes me how the person who's doing wrong or did wrong gets upset first when you should have been one getting upset because they the one did you wrong, you know? Like, you slept with my husband. Shouldn't I be mad? Why are you all upset? You know, you the one stole my money. So, can you give me a chance to get mad first? People will put you in a place, sweetheart, that you don't want to be. It would definitely put you in a place you don't want to be. That's why we got to stay prayed up, because, oof. And, you know, they go around talking about African-Americans need to go to therapists, and African-Americans, you know, they got a stigma to therapy. We better start going to Jesus is what we better start doing, because Jesus is the only one who can save us, heal us, and keep us. Not saying anything wrong with therapy, but we can't be putting therapy above God, because once we do that, we're creating therapy and making it into an idol. And remember, an idol can be anything we put above God. So if I'm putting the therapist before God, it's an idol. If I'm putting my children before my God, they're an idol. If I'm putting my car before my God, it's an idol. God says, you love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And he said he wants to be first. So that means when a problem arises, you know, say I feel like I'm getting a little depressed and a problem arises, what do I need to do? Go to God. Go to him first. Cry out to him. Ask him for help. Right? And then if you feel like talking to a friend, even a therapist, and you're like, you know, I have this, you know, I feel like I'm depressed, but I did talk to God, and God, you know, I feel better about it, and all that good stuff. Instead of you going to the therapist first, trying to tell this therapist, and ask this therapist how can they help you, when you didn't give the Almighty a chance to even focus on it. You understand what I'm saying? We give too much credit to man. Man, therapist. God, Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. I can't rely on man to help me deal with my addiction and my anxiety, my depression, or whatever else it may be, if I don't have enough faith in who Jesus Christ is. Because Jesus Christ is all. He can heal us. He might not want to at one point, but he can heal us. He might heal us right then. Therapy has its place in that it helps people talk about things that they didn't get a chance to talk about. You know, there's certain things that happen in families. You know, people don't talk about that stuff. But the person who's affected needs someone to talk to. So they go to therapists. All well and good. You know, if you know, especially if you're no believer, therapy could be good for you, could not be good for you. Just depends. As a believer, if you do the right thing, go to God first, and then you feel like you want to talk to somebody, make sure that therapist is a Christ-believing therapist. Because if not, they're going to tend to lead you to making the therapy to an idol. Because now they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. And you're trying to talk to them about that. And they're looking at you like, no, I wouldn't advise just prayer. I would advise that you take these medicine, you know, take this medicine and that'll make you feel better. And you know, I don't know if you know, but since I work in the medical field, the first thing they want to do is give you a pill. That's the first thing they want to give you. Give you a pill. Why are you giving me a pill? What is wrong with me? Oh, you have anxiety. So I need a pill to handle the anxiety, or do I need to find a better way to handle my anxiety instead of getting hooked on these pills? Right? Maybe if I go to Christ first and he say, okay, you know, he gives you enlightenment on those pills, then I say, go ahead and take them. But that'd be up to Christ to do that, not up to man to tell me, oh, you need some pills. Because, like I said, Christ, he's our healer. We don't have a problem with him healing. What we probably have a problem with is the fact that we want it right now. And that healing process might have been already started, but Christ hasn't given us freedom from it because he wants to use that crisis for his glory. You understand? Because, you know, when I found out about my condition, it was like, oh, are you serious, Lord? Are you serious? I thought I was doing my best to obey your word. I thought I was helping people, giving food to the homeless, you know, doing my Bible study every Wednesday. Why? You know, you say, why? But, you know, I had to get back to that place and I stepped back and I said, well, why me? Right? And then it was like, why not me? It could be somebody else with the same condition. Why they have to, it's okay for them to have it, but not okay for you. Because you're a Christ believer. Because God don't always answer our prayers the way we think they should be answered. So I had to get to my show. I'm like, hey, Stephanie, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? You know, I didn't mope or anything. I did cry a couple of times. But I didn't mope and get like, oh, my life is over. Mm-mm. So now, you know, I told myself, well, I got to eat better. There's things I can eat, things I can drink that actually can help me. So I had started on doing that. Did I go to a therapist? No. I mean, I did. I talk to, see, this is how I do it. And this is me. It has nothing to do with anybody else. When something bothers me, or I feel like I'm getting in a state maybe of anxiety, I pray. And then when I pray, I'm actually speaking to God like I'm speaking to a therapist. I'm talking to him. I'm like, Lord Jesus, you need to help me do this. I need help doing this. You said in your word that this and this and that and this, you know. And then I start praising him, have songs, worshiping him. And you know what? After that, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. Now, could a therapist have done that? No. No, not make me feel good in my spirit. A therapist ain't gonna help you feel good in your spirit. A therapist might help you feel good, you know, that that superficial kind of like, yeah, okay, I have my therapy. You know, a lot of people come out of therapy, no change. I have a friend, been in therapy for 10 to 15 years. I asked her one day, and I was serious. I said, sweetheart, tell me something. Has this therapy helped you? She said, no. And she was serious about that thing, too. And I'm like, okay, you done gave who knows how much money to these people, and it ain't helping you? I have read about this dude. He wrote a book with this therapist, and he's supposed to be a Christian believer, right? Therapy, 6 years plus whatever it was with another therapist. It doesn't take that long for God to say, be ye healed. The reason why you got to keep going to therapy is either you're not doing what you're supposed to do, whatever that situation is that's carrying you to a therapist, or the therapist you have and you're supposed to be a Christ believer is a non-believing therapist. How you going to get anywhere? How you going to get closer to Christ? So that's why it doesn't help you. You know, people say, well, that therapy didn't help me. Well, what did you do to try to help that therapy help you? You know, faith without works is dead. Isn't that what they say? Faith without works? That means I have to do something so I can see that faith starting to grow in me. And then I get the faith like the three Hebrew boys who was thrown into the fire. Okay, I don't want to get emotional. Thrown into the fire. And God didn't let them burn. And you say to yourself, can that really happen? You know, because me, my young age, I'm like, can that really happen? Can God just, you know, throw me in the fire and I come out not burned? I don't know about that one. And that makes you think, like, God, if God can do that, he can do anything he wants to. Daniel and the lion's den. The lion's, you know, I've been so terrified. Daniel all comfy, laying on the lion's probably, and be talking to him. Yeah, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But I know God's going to deliver me. What? And the lion probably was like, looking at him like, who is this nut talking about he going to live? We getting ready to eat him for supper. What is he talking about? Huh? And then the king come and let him out. He's like, what? And what did Daniel say? My God found no guilt in me. He didn't do nothing wrong. He didn't deserve to be put in a lion's den. The three boys didn't deserve to be put into the fire. Why? Because they did nothing wrong. They chose not to worship his idols, and they said, no, no, no. And if my God does not deliver us, we shall still believe. How you going to believe? How you going to believe you burnt up? Come on, now I better read some of these words and focus on what they're saying. Because some of this stuff, you need to come back and be like, what? What did he just say? Did he just say, even if my God does not deliver us, you shall be dead, right? Come on. And I think about when, let me get it right, I think it was Abraham, and he was taking his son, his only son, to be, he was going to sacrifice him. So him and I guess his little two helpers, or I don't know how many helpers it was, went up to where God told Abraham to go and to, you know, build the altar to put the child on so he can kill him. Now, I remember I read the Bible twice. Okay. I read the Bible. I read that scripture probably more than who knows. But when you read it, you look over it the first time. You're like, well, okay. But what the man said to his little helpers, he said, oh, we shall return. Now, I never saw, I saw it, I read it, but I didn't let it click in my brain. The man said, we shall return. So what is he saying? He's saying, God, my God, is not going to let me sacrifice my son. God's going to give me a ram in the bush to sacrifice instead of sacrificing my son. I believe that my God will not allow me to kill my son. He went up there. God ain't say nothing. He built the thing. Put the child on. The child saying, Daddy, where's the lamb, Daddy? Where's the sacrifice, Daddy? And Daddy saying, oh, don't you worry, honey. God's gonna send it. You know, God got us. Don't worry about it. So he went up to stab that boy. And the angel said, Abraham, don't do it. Y'all trying to tell me y'all going through something. Y'all, you know, you're dealing with this. And I'm with you, you know, dealing with this problem, dealing with this person, dealing with this issue, dealing with this problem. And you say, I can't make it. How am I deal with it? Read about those people who went through. Come on now. Can you imagine some man come knocking on your door saying, yeah, I'm sorry, but we're here to throw you in the lion's den. Excuse me? We're here to throw you in the fire. We're here. We're going to have you kill your only child. What? Are you crazy? But they believed enough. They had that faith. If I only can get it. And I ain't going to tell you I got it. But he said all I need is a mustard seed. So to deal with whatever I have to deal with. So I got enough faith for me. But that faith that Daniel and those boys, and Abraham, you look at them and you say, what? You know, I want that kind of faith. I want to be able to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens. I still believe that my God can keep me, protect me, and help me come to the place I need to be. So when your enemies, and not even enemies, when your friends and family come at you, getting mad at you before you even can get mad because of something they did to you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God says, his strength is sufficient in my weakness. So that means even though I may not be as strong as I would want to be, I may not be as courageous as I should be, God said, don't worry, I got you. You don't have to worry about it. I'm not taking that. I'm not giving you any more courage. I'm not giving you any more faith because you got enough because I am here. You don't have to worry about it because I got you. God bless.